Hey, we're Ginger and Jeremy Bolo. Welcome to the Hope We Hold podcast,
where we have weekly conversations around our family table to share the hope of Jesus.
So today we want to do another Q&A, and we really appreciated all the questions that you all have sent in, and so we're kind of sorting through some of those and picked out some to answer today. We won't get through as many as were sent in probably, but you all can continue to send them in to us. We would love to hear what you all would like us to talk about next time.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun hearing your questions. It lets us know kind of what you guys are thinking and curious about. And most of the questions aren't really, I mean, they might be directed at us, but they're really not about us. They're about things that all of us face and wrestle with. And so Ginger and I have enjoyed kind of working through those and answering them in a way that will hopefully be a benefit and a help to everyone listening, except for maybe one or two questions like, can I name all of your siblings? And I think they may have said in order.
In order.
Like age order.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
definitely have that in this episode.
Yeah, that might be fun for you to listen to. There's a lot of siblings that you
know. A lot.
But then you guys send in some really profound questions too. Not that naming your siblings isn't profound, but I guess questions like, why does God allow good people to suffer or bad things to happen to good people is how people phrase it. So I think we have a question too about Halloween and holidays. Do we celebrate Halloween? Should Christians? And I know that just passed, but maybe that's why it was on everybody's mind. So good questions and things that we have to think through. And as we're trying to be intentional Christians, we want to think about these things. We'll get to those. Guys, thanks for rating and reviewing the podcast. If you could keep doing that, that'd be awesome. We do read those reviews. And as well, sending in your hope stories. Some of these hope stories have really been impactful to us. Just telling us the story of how you found hope in your life. You can send those in via email to contact@hopewehold.com, or you can tag us on social media at hopewehold or tag us and then use the hashtag our hope story, and we will get those stories. And we have a hope story for you today, and it's from Emily Meyer, and her hope story starts out with a pretty incredible sentence. You ready for it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
About 5 years ago, Emily wrote, I was hit by a train. Okay, before we go on, how many people do you know who've been hit by a train?
Literally, I don't know anyone who's been hit by a train, like personally.
Yeah, so this is going to go crazy places. Let's read this, what Emily has to say. 5 years ago, I was hit by a train. It had been a frustrating summer with a bunch of little things piling up. My dog had been ill. I'd had a few asthma attacks and a case of poison ivy. My roommate was dealing with her own frustrations and was working to get a bit of, and work was getting to be a bit of a grind. That was my mindset as I was waiting on the platform for my commuter train on a hot summer afternoon. The train was running late and the platform grew increasingly crowded. And based on witness statements and what I've been able to piece together, that's when I got pushed. The train was pulling into the platform and someone was a bit impatient and pushed me out of the way to get on first. My memory is obviously spotty, but I was taken by ambulance to the trauma center. I had a concussion, bruised lungs, some damage to my shoulder, and my right index finger was almost severed. None of that sounds good, but
wow,
that's it almost? Like,
wow.
What a blessing that it wasn't worse, that she could even write about it. So then she says, the incident made my mood even blacker. On top of everything else, now I've been hit by a train. And then something happened to change things. The detective came to my hospital room to interview me, and he informed me that I was the first train victim that he'd ever been able to interview. Everyone else had wound up in the morgue. Friends and family then reinforced that with the message, thank God you're alive. And I then began to realize that I, quite frankly, should thank God for the gift of my life. My perspective changed from, ugh, I've been hit by a train, to, I've been hit by a train, she writes in all caps. And even through the pain of recovery, visits to a hand surgeon, and splints and scars, I learned to celebrate the fact that I was still here to recover. I don't know why God spared me that day, but I know he spared me for a reason. And I've learned to slow down, and even on the most frustrating days, to find gratitude in the smallest thing, and to live my life with purpose because I still have it.
Wow. That's incredible. I did not expect that. Literally being hit by a train. A lot of us at times can use that phrase and right. We'll say we feel like we were hit by a train, but literally being hit by, yeah, but being hit by a train. Wow.
And then living to talk
and
about it.
God spared her life.
Yeah. And
it's incredible.
It's pretty cool that Emily has that perspective that it really gave her gratitude for life.
Yeah.
And we really can get in that pattern, can't we, of complaining about everything.
Yeah, for sure.
And sometimes it takes us waking up to the suffering of others, or just how blessed we are through a circumstance, maybe not quite like getting hit by a train, but for Emily, that's what it was, where you realize, my goodness, I've been so ungrateful. Mm. You know, I've had so much privilege. I've had so much opportunity. I've had so much comfort. And I just haven't been seeing that and thanking God for it. I think one of the marks of somebody who doesn't really love God is how ungrateful they are, right? Mm, yeah. They're just never thanking him for all that he's doing and he's done. And so for us as Christians, like Emily's showing us, really Thanksgiving needs to be a hallmark of our life.
Mm, for sure.
I think there's certain scriptures, or I think of Philippians 4, where we're to, in every prayer we pray to God, when we have requests, we're to pray with a thankful heart. And that really frames our posture towards the Lord. Yeah. We have a lot to be thankful for, don't we?
Most definitely we do.
Yeah. Well, okay. Emily, thanks for sharing. That's a powerful story, and we're grateful you're okay.
Yes.
And we're grateful you wrote in. And hopefully, Emily, what you said will help others to be thankful today. I mean, I'm pretty sure nobody else listening has gotten hit by a train.
I doubt it. Yes. I think that Emily is probably
the only one.
One of the only ones, yes. Well, we want to jump into some of your questions. And so, Jer, I'm going to start with this one. I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
What are your favorite books in the Bible and why?
That's a good question. Well, the first that comes to my mind is the book of Psalms. And it's the longest book in the Bible. It's 150 chapters long. But the book of Psalms is really a book of songs that were sung by the nation of Israel. They had different authors, some of them King David, the sons of Korah, sons of Asaph. Even Solomon wrote some psalms. And they're really fascinating. And here's a beautiful thing, especially for you guys who haven't maybe read the Bible or haven't read it much. Go to the Psalms. If you open up your Bible literally in the middle of your Bible, you will find the Psalms, probably around Psalm 119 or 118. And the thing, one of the things I love about the Psalms, and one of the things that Bono, you know, the lead singer of U2, loves about the Psalms, is how raw and how real they are, and how down to earth. And almost what you and I might describe as unfiltered.
Right. You're walking into their world, and it's the emotions that they were feeling and facing, pouring out their heart before God, and
yeah,
in such a raw form, as you said. And it really I think it speaks to us, mm-hmm, where we are in our lives, because the humanity of what you read, I mean, it's incredible just to see how weak and how frail, yet how at the end of the Psalms, a lot of times they'll finish and focusing on the promises of God that are unwavering.
Yeah, so you see Psalms that start out even with a complaint from the psalmist, mm-hmm, to the Lord saying, God, where are you? Or God, why are you doing this? And without fail, the Psalms end praising the Lord, thanking the Lord, treasuring the Lord. And you see that transformation even in the songwriter throughout the 10 verses you read. That's another thing. They can be real short. So you can dive in real quick if you need an encouragement and get some profound encouragement and help from the Psalms. So I love all the books of the Bible, and each one is fascinating in its own right. But the first I thought of was the book of Psalms. And I would say, if you really aren't that familiar with the Bible, open up your Bible in the middle of the book and check out the Psalms. And I think it'll catch you off guard. I don't think you've probably heard the Bible spoken of the way you'll read the Psalms. They're a little unhinged at times. You'd think, oh my, they keep you a little off balance. You go, is this really King David saying this? But as we discover it, it's really beautiful, and it glorifies God because it shows his power, his love, his compassion, his mercy, as well as his justice. So check out the Psalms. What about for you, babe? What would you say some of your favorite books of the Bible are?
I have definitely enjoyed the Psalms as well. When we walk through, you know, even hard times, joyous times, there are so many Psalms that are really ministered to my soul. So that's what I was going to say as well. But then also, I love the book of Philippians and then James as well. It's always been one that
I've really enjoyed.
Yeah, both of us have been, we read through that in our daily devotions. We actually took a time where Jared took longer, but I took about a month and read through the Psalms James every single day, the entire book. It's just 5 chapters long, and so it's doable, but just reading through that every day was incredible. And then Jeremy continued that even longer and has recently been preaching through it, which has really ministered to my soul as well. So I think those are definitely some of our favorite books of the Bible.
Yeah, and James will catch you off guard too, won't he?
Yeah.
James is, he's not messing around. No. He says some very intense and very drastic things in that book.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, if you're not familiar with the Bible, check out the Psalms and James. I think those are good recommendations. Okay, babe, do you guys celebrate Halloween? That's a good one. And Halloween just passed.
Yeah, that's a great
question. And I would expand this question, and after maybe we answer that, what is your favorite holiday and why? I'm adding that.
Yeah. I'll let you start on the Halloween side.
Okay. So do we celebrate Halloween? Well, we definitely dropped the ball this year, didn't we? Because we went to a nice little garden, like a Japanese garden, to walk around for Halloween, and there was a pumpkin patch and everything. And we took Felicity. And all the little kids, I think we were in the parking lot and we saw all these kids walking in.
Yes.
With the cutest outfits. And I think we just realized the potential that we had going on Amazon and buying some cute outfits, like a pumpkin outfit.
Felicity has no costumes whatsoever.
No costumes.
She doesn't have anything to dress up with at our house.
Oh, we've really...
We were realizing, oh, wait, I guess she's at the stage where she would enjoy dressing up. That would be fun.
You know what was cool though is she wasn't so self-aware that she was upset she didn't have one. She genuinely was just enjoying everyone else's.
Yes, she thoroughly enjoyed it.
We dropped the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just thinking, my goodness, she could have been a strawberry. She could have been a fairy.
She would have been the cutest strawberry.
Oh my goodness. So she did go crazy for the pumpkins though.
Yes.
Every 2 seconds, look, Daddy, a pumpkin.
She was obsessed with the pumpkins, building towers because they had a little area and the kids could stack them up. So she was doing that, and she was covered in dirt when we got home.
Yeah. So do we celebrate Halloween though? I wouldn't say, I would say yes or no.
Not in a traditional sense.
Maybe not in the traditional sense. I think so. Here's a way for Christians to think about it is, a lot of us see certain holidays. It's a social construct that maybe you grew up and your idea of Halloween is getting a cute outfit with your friends, having your friends over, go trick-or-treating around your neighborhood, say hi to the neighbors, have fun and laugh with your parents, and you get candy. And you get to dress up. And that's about it. Well, as far as that goes, I think totally Christians can enjoy that. If my kids want to dress up and it's a fun time to wear a pumpkin outfit, then that's awesome. Now, there are, I think, you know, if you go into it and study the origins of something like Halloween, you'll find very disturbing origins. And what some people do and choose to do on Halloween is disturbing. I think you can do that with anything, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You could take Christmas back and try to find pagan origins there, or even Easter and whatever. The text that comes to my mind is, to the pure, all things are pure. And so it really depends on each family in their conscience and saying, okay, well, what are you doing to celebrate? How are you celebrating? What's going on in your mind? Because if you say, hey, you know, societally, you know, our neighborhood, every October 31st, we give candy out to the kids and you dress up. That in itself is objectively harmless. It, where you say, yeah, sure, we love dressing up and love getting candy. But if you begin to find that in your family, it's bringing in, you know, a darkness, or your kids are starting to be influenced by maybe some satanic origins of the holiday, well, then you need to say, okay, hold on a second. Let's evaluate this and look at this on a bit of a deeper level. I know there's a lot of people who get super opinionated about this stuff, Christmas as well, and they want to go to Jeremiah 10 and show how cutting down a tree and bringing it into your living room is pagan, right? Jeremiah 10 wasn't talking about a Christmas tree, by the way. It was talking about literally cutting a tree and turning it into an idol, which is what they would have done to worship. But I know people get opinions about those things, and that's okay. They're free to have those opinions. But I also think we need to leave room for families to enjoy, you know, all the good gifts that God gives, including candy and dressing up
yes.
and having fun with your neighbors, and to do so with a clean conscience. Now, if maybe you were kind of involved in the occult or something during Halloween and it will always carry those connotations for you, then stay away from it, right?
Right, yeah. Each person, as you said, in their own conscience before God, determining, you know, is this something that I can participate in with a clean conscience, then that's what really I think matters in all this.
Yeah, I think as Christians, we can get a tendency to want to overreach into everyone's lives
yes.
and dictate how everybody has to live their life. And on things where God really doesn't give those commands, right? So this question came up. This was a question of Christian liberty. This question came up in the book of Corinthians, where Paul's writing to the Corinthians about meat that people were buying at the marketplace for a discount because it had been sacrificed to idols. And some Christians really had a problem with that. They said, you can't eat meat that's been sacrificed to a pagan god. And Paul's like, and this is 1 Corinthians 9 and 10, he's going, guys, it's just meat. Like, you know, meat is meat. By the way, those pagan gods aren't even real. And so he's not bothered by it. However, he recognizes, man, some people are going to be upset by that. So I don't want to cause my brother to stumble. So you know what? I'm never going to eat meat in front of him ever again. I don't want to cause him to stumble if that's a real issue. So there's what's called Christian liberty. If you feel like Halloween just has too much of a negative connotation for you and you don't want to introduce your family to that at all in any form, that's totally fine. And a lot of Christians, and us too, we celebrate Reformation Day.
Yes.
Because it's the anniversary of when Martin Luther posted the 95 Theses on the castle door at Wittenberg. Or cathedral door. But, you know, that's a great time to celebrate as well. But I would say, you know, in your own conscience, determine before the Lord, and to the pure, all things are pure. You know, let's talk about Christmas. I look at Christmas. I've always ever looked at Christmas and said, you know, every Sunday I celebrate the birth of Christ.
Yeah, for sure. It's not just one day out of the year that we are celebrating the birth of Christ. And it's true. It's like, we don't know exactly when he was born. And so if there's a day that the world is celebrating, then that's excellent for us as Christians. We just want to take that and, you know, we think about what, when Christ entered the world, and we read the story, in Luke 2, the Christmas story, to, you know, like each year. It's just amazing. That was something that I remember growing up doing, and it was an incredible time just to focus on Christ and the birth of Christ and rejoicing in that, what a beautiful gift it is from God, and then also enjoying giving gifts to each other, and just kind of as like another reminder of that, like God gave us the greatest gift, and then we're also able to share, you know, gifts with each other. And it's just a sweet time to come together as a family, set aside all the busyness, and to be together.
Yeah. And I think that's how I've always looked at it. And so we can enjoy that with a clean conscience.
And is Christmas your favorite holiday?
Oh, man.
No? Thanksgiving.
Well, I'm it's tough to say favorite. It's like asking your favorite food when you love them all. Yeah. It's, you know, each one has its own unique, like Thanksgiving, it's my favorite meal of the year.
Yeah.
You know?
It's so good.
Show me a better meal than Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And I love being in food coma by 3 o'clock and watching the Detroit Lions get crushed by whoever they're playing on Thanksgiving Day. Sorry, Detroit fans. But favorite, I mean, that is, Christmas just has something special.
I think so.
It's typically cold. It should be snowing.
It depends on where you go for Christmas.
The whole world kind of shuts down for that.
Yes.
And you just spend time with family.
It's amazing. Yeah, there's something so incredibly magical about Christmas. I just love it.
Is it your favorite?
Christmas is definitely my favorite holiday.
But that's because your birthday is 4 days before.
Yeah, that's true. I'm a little partial maybe because of that, but Christmas has always been my favorite. I can't wait to get the Christmas decor up. Usually on Thanksgiving evening, we put up some lights.
Big controversy this year.
Yes.
Jessa Seawald has really stirred the pot.
Oh, she did. I actually was thinking after I saw hers, I was like, this is exactly what I wanted to do. She put up a Christmas tree. And it was before Halloween, before Thanksgiving, and Jeremy was not so sure about it.
Scandalous.
That's what he told me. And I actually commented on her post. I said, I was thinking about doing the same thing.
Oh, my.
But I have an excuse, right? My excuse
is
if I do it before Thanksgiving, which I probably will, that it's because if I'm prepping for a baby, I don't want to do everything around the time the baby's to be born. So I was thinking I should just get this done ahead of time. That way I can enjoy decor and not have to think about it, you know, if it was a couple weeks after I had the baby, putting up Christmas decor around the house. I thought it would be a lot easier if I did it before the baby comes. That's my only reason.
Okay, babe, that's a valid excuse.
Okay.
It's a wonderful excuse.
And Jess's excuse.
Well, that's the question. Is hers valid?
Does she have an excuse?
So yeah, well, hers is so I confronted her about this.
Mm.
And she said that her putting up the Christmas tree before October was even out is genius because it's 2020. There are no rules. And we all deserve 3 Christmases this year because of how crazy it's been.
That is so true, though.
So that's a legit excuse?
I feel like it is.
So you're going by feelings, but okay, I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Christmas, good stuff. Next question is profound. And it's one I think we've all asked.
Yeah. Why does God allow bad things to happen to good people?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It needs to start with sort of a rephrasing of the question. Mm. And when people ask this, they're assuming something.
That they're good.
Right.
They're a good
person.
So
they look at people and say, hey, look at bad things happening to all these good people. And here's something that a lot of people don't actually remember or recognize or know that Jesus taught. And it's this, that there is no one good but God. Mm. So one time a rich young guy approached Jesus and was basically like, hey, how can I work my way into heaven? And Jesus lets him know there's nobody good except God. This is affirmed all throughout the Bible. You can go back to the start of Genesis to the book of Revelation, all throughout. Every book in the Bible affirms the reality that people are not naturally good, which is why on the playground, we're not teaching our kids how to lie and be mean. We're trying to teach them how to be polite and not push my daughter down the slide before she wants to go down the slide, right? So we've got this natural instinct. And haven't you ever wondered about your own heart? Like, why do I naturally tend towards being kind of rude or mean or cruel or criticizing, right?
Yeah.
Because we're hardwired to be selfish. Mm. And so Paul says in Romans chapter 3, there is none good, no, not one. All have turned aside. Together they've become worthless. They've all gone their own way. So here's the rephrasing of the question. I would put it this way. Why does God allow difficult circumstances in our lives? Because we're not good people. We're sinful people who need a really good savior.
Yes.
And Jesus is that good savior.
Right.
And so that's the gospel, isn't it? I mean, if I was a good person, why did Jesus need to come live a life of perfect law keeping, die a death that as if he had broken the law, and then rise from the dead 3 days later? If I was already good, if God already accepted me, then I don't actually need Jesus. So there's no reason for the gospel. So we need a good savior as bad people. And we get that through repenting of our sin, our badness, and putting our faith in Christ. But then the question still remains, tough stuff happens.
Yeah, why suffering? Why does God allow suffering? And we've seen it time and time again. There have been families who are walking through some of the hardest circumstances that we cannot even comprehend. We can't wrap our mind around. If it's losing a child, you know, losing a loved one, or they're just in without work or whatever it may be. There are so many circumstances. And even those who are walking with Christ, those who love God, and they're walking through these times. So how do we answer that question?
Yeah, it's a great one. And I would, you know, obviously we should probably do a whole episode on this actually.
Yeah.
That's one thing I love about these questions is they make us go, ooh, good ideas for episodes. But if you're taking notes, you can jot these scriptures down. If you're driving, please don't jot these scriptures down. Wait till you're done driving. But Romans chapter 5, the first five verses, talk exactly about this. James chapter 1, the first, 18 verses, talk exactly about this. And 1 Peter 1. Talk exactly about this, about the issue of suffering. And listen to this. This is Romans chapter 5, the first text I cited. And I'm going to just read the first five verses, and it's kind of self-explanatory. Therefore, since we've been saved by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So that's just talking about the gospel. Through Jesus and what he's done and putting your faith in him, you can be restored in your relationship with God and be rescued from your sin. It's beautiful. But then listen to these words. Not only do we rejoice in that, the gospel, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. It's astonishing. We don't know exactly every little thing God's doing and why he's ordained certain types of suffering for everything, right? Only God knows certain things that are in his mind. But what we do know is that suffering isn't meaningless. It's actually doing something in our life, and it's doing something good. It's producing a steadfastness. It's producing an endurance. It's showing us, like he says here, it produces character, which produces hope, and hope doesn't put us to shame. He's saying by difficult circumstances happening in this life, he's showing us that our hope isn't in this life. It's in the next life. And so if he's taking things like your health or your money or friends or loved ones or whatever, your comfort, your peace, he's producing a perseverance in you. That's why what it's designed for, to show you that your hope should be in eternity. You know, we're only a mist that vanishes. We're a blade of grass. We're a flower that's here one day and it fades the next. But we're going to live for eternity. And so God actually uses suffering to show us and for us to show the world where our true treasure is. Is it all the stuff that God gives you that you treasure? Or is it God himself? And I think, you know, we can relate to this. When there have been times of difficulty and pain in our lives, aren't those the times that we often feel closest to the Lord?
Yes, most definitely, because we are fully relying upon him. There's nothing that can give us joy in that moment besides Christ. There's nothing that, nothing can be replaced. Like if you lost a loved one, that person cannot come back into your life. And so it's, you are just fully dependent and weak. And you just, I think in those moments, cry out to God and just, pour out your heart before Him and ask Him for help, ask Him for strength and peace through those times. And it is in those times when God shows His power in our weakness that a deeper love and a deeper devotion, even to Christ, you just love Him all the more because you see how good He is, even in the most difficult circumstances.
Yeah, that's really good. That's helpful. Good question. Maybe we'll do a full episode on that.
Yes.
Okay, here's another question, babe. What is a good way to approach modesty? A good way, or I guess a bad way as well. How would we approach this question of modesty for men and women? Mm. I think sometimes this question is only directed at women.
Right.
As if men can't be immodest.
Yeah.
We definitely can be, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And so we both need to answer it.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Definitely, I think there is a good way to approach modesty. And I think as we go to the scriptures, over and over, we see that modesty, it's an issue of the heart. So it starts with our hearts and where we are in our relationship to Christ and desiring for everything that we do to glorify God. And so in 1 Peter 3, verse 3, we see that there's a scripture, I'll read it here. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of the hair, the putting on of gold and jewelry, or the clothing that you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. And it goes on to talk about more about modesty there in that passage. But I think it is something that you can see someone who's dressed from head to toe, you know, their face is covered, whatever it may be, and they can still be immodest. And it definitely is an issue of the heart. We want our hearts to be filled with the Word of God, filled with the Spirit of God, and that will overflow from within and also cause us just to want to be modest. And so it's not saying that clothes don't matter at all. What you put on your body entirely doesn't matter. I think that each one of us before the Lord will lead us, but as we're walking with Him, that He will give us direction in these things. But it starts with the attitude of our hearts.
Yeah. It's ironic, isn't it? Peter says, you know, don't let the focus of your adorning be on your clothes.
Right.
Because he says there, you know, don't let your adorning be external, braiding of your hair, putting on of gold, or the clothing you wear.
Right. It's not saying you can't braid your hair right. or put on gold.
Because then yes. he'd be saying you can't wear clothes.
Right.
What he's saying is we should be focusing on the heart. Mm. We should have a modest disposition of the heart. This goes for men and women, where there's a humility, there's a gentleness, right? There's not this braggadocious, kind of brash, attention-grabbing. Yeah. So it begins with the heart. What's ironic is in, you know, the Christian church, so much of the conversation about modesty, if you ask a lot of people about what is modest, where do they immediately go? Clothes.
Yes.
They immediately go to the external.
Right.
And honestly, in a lot of those conversations, you actually never hear anything about the heart. It's, oh, you've got the right clothes on. Check the box. You're modest. That's literally the opposite of what Peter's saying. He's saying it's about your heart. So it's not about certain rules of you have to wear this clothes or not wear that one. It's about let your heart be modest, which is a humility, not trying to grab all the attention for yourself. And that will reflect itself certainly in your clothes, right?
Yeah.
So if you have a humble heart, you'll reflect that and kind of how you carry yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the wrong way, and that's a great question, but the wrong way to go about it is to make up rules that are culturally driven, man-made rules that focus only on the outward, while ignoring the heart. And I think the good way to go about it is to see it as an issue of the heart that does reflect itself outwardly.
Yes, because it is definitely that balance. I mean, back and forth. And so, you know, if you're going to get dressed in the morning, you think, okay, I want to dress to please God. And you're walking with the Lord. And I think he convicts you of something, you know, it's like, well, that's the Holy Spirit convicting you of that. And so being sensitive to it, but it starts with where your heart is initially, yeah. Because if your heart is not to be glorifying God in every aspect, then you're not going to care. And it's going to be like, oh, well, I can do whatever I want today. I can wear whatever sure. I want. I can say whatever I want. And then the attitude of your heart, if you go out and about, like, you're going to be flaunting yourself. You're going to be I think you just see like the evidences from within flowing from your heart. But each one of us, like, we've met people who love the Lord and they love his word and it just flows from them. And it's just so beautiful. And you see that person is so, I've known so many men, women and men who it's like, wow, this is amazing. The word of God is just flowing from them. And it's such a beautiful thing. And the modesty of their hearts, it's amazing to see. Yeah. There's humility, there's kindness, gentleness, and you just see the fruit of the Spirit being lived out in yeah. their life.
And
those things.
And something you said is interesting. You said, okay, you may be getting ready to get dressed and the Spirit will convict you or lead you. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, one of the things to realize is I think immodesty is really the pride of trying to draw attention to what you shouldn't be drawing attention to, right?
Right.
Which is why
exactly.
Peter's saying, we want to draw attention to Christ in us,
the
hidden person, which means, by the way, modesty is an issue of the heart where we need to say, look, I want to reflect Christ in me. I want to show off the beauty of Christ, not me. I'm not trying to be braggadocious or arrogant. And that reflects itself in all sorts of ways. You can't just put that into a box and say, this is modest. That's not. Which is why I think it's an issue for each person to work through in their own walk with the Lord. Well, that's a really good question. Maybe we should do an episode about that too. Okay, next question. Where do you guys see yourself in 10 years?
In 10 years, wow. Well, with
have you even thought about
with
that?
With a 12-year-old? And, oh my word, that's insane.
A decade from now.
Yeah, I haven't thought much about 10 years. Sometimes I'll think 5 years, you know, and think of where we could be. Who knows if we'll still be in California or if we'll be elsewhere, if you're mm-hmm. going to be moved to pastor a church or if we'll still be here serving a ministry. We don't know. I mean, that's definitely, wow, 10 years.
I would...
What
well,
do you think?
My first thought is your first thought. It just goes right to Felicity. I think in 10 years, she's going to be 12 years old.
That's crazy.
Oh, and then our little girl coming.
Yes.
Will be 10 years old.
Wow.
So, man, that question has us thinking, but I don't know. You know, I did just preach from James 5.
Yes.
I mean, James 4.
That's exactly, that verse came to my mind.
Yeah.
It came to my mind.
Which says, you know, you who say today or tomorrow, we'll go here or there and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. He says,
you
don't know what tomorrow
day.
Is going to
yeah.
bring, right? So he says, you should say God willing, or if the Lord wills, we mm-hmm. will do this or that. So with our James 4 in mind, if God wills, I would love us to be somewhere in ministry, faithfully loving our family,
yes,
loving our neighbors, serving the Lord. But I have no idea where that would be.
Yeah, because we did not think when we got married 4 years ago that we would be here in LA and that you would be attending seminary. That was not
but now that we're
on
here,
our radar.
It's like you couldn't see it a different way.
Oh, for sure. Most definitely. So it's just, that came so quickly. And so I think it's who knows in 10 years from now where we'll be. Well, babe, we have come to the point of this podcast where I get to ask you the question I've been waiting to ask you. Can you name all of my siblings?
Oh my.
Should I say in order or just can you name them all?
Oh. I think pretty easy to name them all.
Usually you can name them all, but I will have order to say
would be difficult.
The order, occasionally you mix up a few. So let's see if you can do it from start to finish in order.
Okay, so you have Josh, John, Jana, Josh. Okay, Josh, Jana, John.
There you go. Well, they're 3 minutes apart. Okay. So.
And then you have Jill, Jessa, Ginger, Joe. Oh, okay, this is where it starts to get complicated. Now you have Joy. Nope.
Nope.
Then you have Ginger.
So you have Joseph. Nope. Then you have
Joe. Yeah, Joseph.
Josiah.
And then you have Joy.
Yes.
Okay. And then you have Jed and Jir.
Uh-huh.
And then you have Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have James.
Yes.
And then you have Justin.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Johanna Jackson. And then Johanna. And then you have Tyler. He slips in there.
Yes.
And then you have Jordan. No, Jenny,
mm-hmm.
Jordan, Josie.
You did it.
I did it?
You did it.
I didn't do it as smooth or as quick as I should have.
But you did it.
The sometimes you, like when I'm interacting with your siblings, you forget, because they get to an age when they're around 19, 20.
Oh, yeah.
Where the age distinction kind of disappears
a little bit. That has happened.
And so you're trying to think like, wait, Joe or Joy or Josiah, who's the older one?
Oh, you know? That's definitely happened with my siblings. I cannot remember their exact ages, so don't ask me their ages because that will be very disturbing if I try to go through. Right. I will fail epically.
What about birthdays? Are you still faithful in sending them a birthday card?
Yeah, I can remember. I can remember all of my siblings' birthdays. It's just the year, and then I don't always do the best at like calculating immediately in my mind,
right,
the math side of it.
Well, maybe next time I'm going to ask you to say all your siblings' birthdays.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Birthdays I could do.
Could you really?
I could do birthdays, I'm sure.
Do it from top down.
From my dad, July 18th, September 13th is my mom. Josh is March 3rd. Jan and John are January 12th. Then we have Jill is May 17th. Jessa is November 4th. And Joy. Why did I jump to Joy? Oh, because Jessa and then me.
Joy. You forgot yourself.
I'm December 21st. Joseph is January 20th. Then we have Josiah at August 28th. Joy is October 28th. Jedediah and Jeremiah are December 30th. Jason is April 21st. James is July 7th. And then Justin is November 15th. And then Jackson is Jackson's May 26th. Johanna is October 11th. Jennifer. I don't know.
Pressure's on.
Oh, goodness gracious.
You're so close.
Jennifer. I'm having
amazing
pregnancy brain with Jennifer. She is. I don't remember.
It'll come to you.
Go
Jordan.
Hold on. Jennifer is August. I don't remember Jenny's birthday. Jenny. Okay, we'll jump to Jordan. I'll come back to Jenny in a minute. I just can't remember right now. Jordan is December 18th, I believe. And then Josie is December 10th.
That's amazing.
That should be all of them.
That's amazing.
And Jennifer should be August 2nd.
We'll have fact checkers check into it.
She August 2nd? Now I can Google it.
Yeah, fact check it.
I'm going to do that because I feel like she's the second.
By the way, Ginger has had to Google, not your birthday before, but you've had to Google your own age before.
Yeah.
She told me once her age. I said, babe, I don't think that's your age. And so we Googled it together and found out her age.
Okay. I just Googled Jennifer Duggar's birthday. And if I'm wrong, I'm going to be so embarrassed. August 2nd. Boom, I got it.
Killed it, babe.
I got it. Yes.
Good job.
Took me a minute, but I got
it. Babe, that blows my mind. I had no idea you could do that. I had no idea you really? Could do that.
Now you'll have to fact check the rest of them, but I'm pretty sure I got them all right.
Okay, somebody out there, fact check them. Let us know if you got them all right.
I messed up.
Well, okay, we're running out of time, but babe, that was impressive. That was phenomenal. And guys, we really appreciate your questions.
Yes.
Send some more in, and we will do some episodes maybe on some of these questions. I think the one about why does God allow suffering is a big one.
Yeah.
And maybe the holidays too.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And we hope you're encouraged. We hope this podcast is encouraging. If you guys have feedback, we'd love to hear it.
Yes, please. Please do rate and review the podcast.
And when we say review, we really mean it. Like, we want to know how we could be better. We are novice podcasters.
Yes.
It's a new world for us.
It is.
But we've really enjoyed it. Well, guys, thank you so much. We hope you have a blessed week. And keep tuning in. We appreciate your support. And we are so grateful you sat with us today at the Hope We Hold podcast. And we trust you are encouraged.
And it's our hope that your hope would be in Christ alone.